Good morning and welcome to our service of worship on Sunday the 6th of June. Isn't it such a beautiful day outside, such a glorious sunshine, seeing the majesty of God's creation? It almost makes you want to sing. And yes, thankfully through some careful engineering, we have done just that. We are allowed to sing in church this morning. However, unfortunately, we must remain in our masks. So it will be a muffled, joyous sound to the Lord. Our call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 119, verses 33 to 40. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my head towards your statutes, and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. Let us worship God, and let us for the first time for many months stand and sing, O Worship the King.
Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, as you have called us, make us worthy of our calling. As we reach out to touch you, touch us, and we shall be changed, that we may live to your glory. Jesus Christ, our Lord. God of all creation, we thank you that it has pleased you to bring us to the beginning of another new day. We thank you because we are in your presence to worship and to adore you. Lord God, help us to trust in you, that we may hope beyond hope and trust beyond trust. Let people see the faith of your church. Let us witness to your almighty power. Though our faith is small, it is in a great God. May we help to uplift your people, to raise the fallen, and bring the sick to recovery. Lord, heal us and raise us up. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Ezekiel, reading from chapter 3, verses 22 to 27. Ezekiel 3, 22 to 27. The hand of the Lord was on me there, and he said to me, "Get up and go out to the plain, and there I will speak to you." So I got up and went out to the plain. And the glory of the Lord was standing there, like the glory I had seen by the river Kebar, and I fell face down. Then the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet. He spoke to me and said, "Go, shut yourself inside your house, and you, son of man, they will tie with ropes. You will be bound so that you cannot go out among the people. I will make your tongue stick to the roof of your mouth so that you will be silent and unable to rebuke them, for they are a rebellious people. But when I speak to you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says.' Whoever will listen, let them listen. And whoever will refuse, let them refuse, for they are a rebellious people." Our second reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 10, verses 16 to 20. Matthew 10, 16 to 20. "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what you say or how you say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, or it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word.
Unto God's name be glory and praise. Our next hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you thanks for another time to speak and to listen to your life-giving word. Bless our hearts and make them receptive to your gospel, and enable us not just to be faithful followers, but also to be willing and able and bold enough to call others to follow you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, ministers, elders, deacons, deaconesses, Christians, and all followers of Jesus Christ have been called and set apart to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world of men and women. And often the people to whom we are called to minister to are not always very receptive to the message of the cross. They will challenge our witness in many different ways, including undermining the values that the Bible seeks to promote. No wonder weak-minded Christians, not being able to stand up to the detractors of the gospel of Christ, often give in to misleading interpretations of the Bible that suit and promote the things that satisfy the flesh. For those who stand up to the truth, they are often persecuted. And we know too that in many countries of the world, Christians are largely persecuted for their faith. According to the World Evangelical Encyclopedia, since the death of Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago, 43 million Christians have become martyrs. Over 50% of these were in the last century alone. More than 200 million Christians face persecution each day, 60% of whom are children. And every day, over 300 people are killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, when I was preparing this service, I did a little research and I tried to find out some specific places where this persecution is more prevalent. And I selected a few countries from a newspaper called The Voice of Persecuted Christians to illustrate the fact. Take, for example, Nigeria in West Africa. Christians in this country are likely to suffer continuing attacks by Fulani herdsmen militia in the Middle Belt region and Boko Haram Islamic terrorist group attacks in the northeast. Persecution is increasing, and most of it is not reported due to government intimidation, because the government and security forces want to prove that they are in control and winning the war against terrorism. Meanwhile, thousands of Christians have been displaced by Fulani herdsmen in Plateau State and their homes taken over. Some have been living in camps for up to 5 years. And then there is North Korea. The zero tolerance policy of the government means that Christianity is incompatible with life and citizenship in North Korea. Any North Korean suspected even of having contact with a foreign missionary, such as from China, would be interned at a concentration camp along with family members extending to 3 generations. The policy against Christians has remained steady since at least the 1950s, and is arguably the longest, harshest persecution of Christians in recorded history. In India, according to the Alliance Defending Freedom, Christians endured 218 incidents of religiously motivated violence during the first 10 months of 2019, the majority of these allegedly by vigilant mobs. In 2014, 147 incidents of religiously motivated violence against Christians were documented. And in Egypt, Egypt is home to the fastest growing population in the Middle East and the largest Christian population in the Arab world. Christians number around 11 million people. Despite protection offered by the constitution, the Christian minority in Egypt will continue to face discrimination and persecution. And most Christians live as second-class citizens. Believers from a Muslim background face the harshest treatment, such as expulsion from their families, divorce instigated by their Muslim spouses, estrangement from their children, and loss of employment. What about the United Kingdom, our own country where we live? In June 2009, a Christian teacher was suspended from a senior post for complaining that a staff training day had been used to promote homosexual rights in a school in England. The teacher in question left a compulsory training session with several other Christian colleagues at the North London School after the speaker, invited by the school head teacher, openly questioned why people thought heterosexuality was natural. The speaker at the staff training day, who openly describes herself as a lesbian, argued that those who did not accept that being homosexual was normal had issues they must deal with. The suspended teacher had spent most of his teaching life working in inner city London schools and is a father of three children. He commented that, "I am not surprised by all this, but I am disappointed. I am the one being harassed and intimidated for expressing my religious views. As an experienced professional, I am supportive of equality and diversity programs, and I've always got on well with colleagues who are aware of my Christian beliefs." That's a rather long introduction to the subject. But coming back to our text this morning, Jesus Christ warned his apostles when he sent them out. He said, "Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves." After introducing us to the reality that not everyone will accept the good news or the message of the kingdom, Jesus now prepares us for how difficult that rejection will be. There will be some who have an attitude that ignores the message, but others will have a malignant and vengeful attitude towards the good news and those who share it. Now let me quote from Epicurus, a great philosopher and atheist who mocks God and mocks those who follow him. These are the questions he raises. Is God willing to prevent evil but not able? Then he is not omnipotent. Is he able but not willing? Then he is malevolent. Is he both able and willing? Then whence cometh evil? Is he neither able nor willing? Then why call him God? Well, I don't have time now to answer to those intriguing questions of Epicurus, but I want to suggest that those in all ages who have been faithful to Christ and have dared to challenge the system have been bitterly persecuted by their foes. Because of the danger, discernment is needed. So the Lord commanded, "Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Being wise as a serpent will enable us to see trouble coming and be prepared to handle it if we cannot avoid it. Being harmless as a dove will enable us to display the Spirit of Christ when trouble comes our way. In other words, Jesus' followers will be like sheep hunted by a den of wolves. In such circumstances, two qualities are commanded. First, Jesus' followers are to be bright, insightful, strategic, smart, clever, and wise. We won't stupidly muddle through when opposed. We do not want to bring unnecessary shame or hardship on ourselves, the cause of Christ or Jesus' people. And then secondly, even if we are hounded, criticized, and despised, let's make sure we are a people of character, peace, and purity. I venture to say, dear friends, that the Apostle Peter got that message because a reading of 1 Peter teaches us how to practically live out what Jesus teaches here. Purity and prudence in a hostile world in which we live as witnesses to Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, in this passage, the commission to the disciples of Jesus Christ is broadened. Although the interpretation is still Jewish, the principles and warnings have an application to the church today. Those who are faithful to the Lord and his word can expect hate and hostility from the world. Now, I think it is right to say that we don't face persecutions much in Great Britain. And the reason is because we are complacent concerning our faith and our commitment to Jesus Christ is often superficial. We are even ashamed to declare that we are Christians and to stand up for the truth of the gospel because we fear that others may see us as primitive or old-fashioned and not moving with the modern times. We do not want to judge anybody, and we do not even want to tell them or to call them to repentance. That is the reason why we don't face persecution, and that is the reason why our churches are sometimes empty, because we do not have a counterculture to the culture of the world. Let me end with a quote from Lou Nichols. This is what she suggested. Satan has three lines of attack. First, he tries to keep men and women from becoming Christians. Then, if stopped here, he tries to keep them from being active and useful as Christians. And finally, as a last resort, he tries to destroy their character. She gives three different ways Satan uses to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. Does any of those three apply to your own journey in faith? Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, give us wisdom to face those who despise your name, your cause, your message, and your people. Help us not to become hateful towards them, like those who hate us and your cause. Instead, create in us a pure and loving heart, that we might know and live your ways in witness to those who do not know you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next theme, meekness and majesty.
Our prayer of dedication. Let us give thanks for our offering. Lord, we offer these gifts to you with thankful hearts and in joyous praise of your generous nature. As we give of our money and resources, we surrender our whole being to you in worship and adoration. Lord, may this offering extend the work of your kingdom in this church, this community, and throughout the world where the need is greatest. Amen. Our prayers of intercession. Let us bring before God our prayers for the world, the church, and ourselves. Let us pray. God of grace and compassion, our hearts are full of gratitude as we think of the many blessings in our lives. The gift of faith to believe in you, the love of family and friends, for shelter, clean water and plentiful food, for access to education and health care, for peace, democracy and the embracing of diversity, for the freedom of speech and movement. Lord, we pray for those who do not share our experiences, for the homeless, the displaced and the separated, for the thirsty with no access to clean water, and the hungry witnessing another failed harvest, for the ill and the dying with limited access to medical attention and essential medicines, for those trapped in political and military regimes, suffering both mental and physical anguish, for those who worship you in secret, behind closed doors, hidden from prying authorities. Lord, we lift them up to you this day and ask that your blessings will be poured out on them. God of grace and compassion, our hearts are full of gratitude as we think of the many charities who work tirelessly in your name to resolve the plight and relieve the suffering of the world's poorest communities. We thank you for the World of Christian Aid, World Vision, Smile Train, and Sight Savers, amongst the many who work on the front line of deprivation, disaster, and conflict. May we never lose sight of the fact that while distance may separate us, we are all connected through your creative hand. And despite our differences in religion, culture, lifestyle, and appearance, we all belong to your one race, the human race. Acknowledging that the success and failure experienced in the lives of others is our success and failure, and that suffering and joy experienced in their lives is our suffering and joy. God of grace and compassion, our hearts are full of concern when we think of all those who are afflicted by physical, emotional, or mental illness at this time. Comfort them and strengthen and support all who care for them. We pray that through the lonely times and in their suffering, they will keep their eyes firmly fixed on you, and you will watch over them and give them the courage to endure the pain and ultimately lead them through to recovery and full rehabilitation. We thank you for the skills of our National Health Service, our medical teams, surgeons, anaesthetists, nurses, physiotherapists, and all care and support staff who deliver the very best of health care, instruments of your love and healing hands. We acknowledge the work of our scientists, who through continued research and testing have developed the many life-saving drugs and vaccines which protect us from both known diseases and emerging variants. We thank you for the development and rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine, which has allowed the easing of restrictions and a gradual return towards normality. Father, we commend into your loving mercy the dying and those who have already joined you in the beauty and joy of heaven above. We ask for your comfort and loving embrace to surround loved ones left behind. In their time of sorrow and grief, Lord, reassure them and console them. God of grace and compassion, our hearts are full of concern as we think of all those who feel detached from you at this moment. those who have been unable to worship with us in person or online over the past year, those who feel that you may not be present in their daily lives or find it difficult to turn their thoughts towards you. We pray that they are able to once again experience your present and glorifying nature and realize that you had never left them, but were always there by their side, waiting. We pray for your church in this place, Lord, for our eldership, office bearers, and congregation. And we give thanks for our minister, Amos. His vision, witness, and commitment to deliver your word in this place. And for Florence and his family who enrich our church community. And we give you thanks that Florence's mother has been able to travel to Scotland from the Cameroon to spend some time with the family. Heavenly Father, bless them all in this time of family reunion. We give thanks for the General Assembly 2021, for the many discussions, debates, and speeches which will shape the governance and the mission of the Church for years to come. We ask your blessing on Fife Presbytery as it slowly emerges as a single entity, and for the prospective resolution of our cluster shape and membership in North Fife. God of grace and compassion, our hearts are full of gratitude as we think of all those who rule and govern in truth. Father, we ask your blessing on our Queen Elizabeth and all who represent us in both local and national government. Give them wisdom and discernment to govern with honesty and empathy. Guide and protect our armed services, wherever in the world they are deployed, in both defensive and humanitarian roles. Be with the volunteers of the RNLI who respond to emergencies at sea, the mountain rescue teams who attend to the injured in our countryside, and St. Andrew's First Aid, who attend to illness and injuries sustained at public events. Finally, Lord, we give thanks for calling us by name and keeping us safe as we navigate the trials and difficulties of life through the indwelling guidance and power of your Holy Spirit. God of grace and compassion, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you are able, please stand. Let us affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We bring our service to its close, singing, O for a thousand tongues to sing. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.